Greetings once again. This is Warren Mitchell, the Power of Man podcast. And today I have again with me the wonderful and awesome Amisha Harding. Hey, Amisha.
Hey, how is everyone out there?
Hey, y'all. It's good to be back for our second episode. And today we have an amazing topic that Amisha brought up. And you said, what is it?
I want to know, it's going to be called Marriage. Is it the beginning or is it the end?
Beginning or the end.
And for good reason. I have noticed that when my girlfriends are getting married, they are so excited about this new life. Life as they knew it, as this single woman, is over. And now they are going into this new, wonderful partnership. They're excited. I'm married.
Yeah.
Girl, I'm going to travel the world with my husband. Mm-hmm. I can't wait. I'm going to be cute. I'm going to be wearing some high heels and an apron and nothing else. Making him eggs in the morning. Like, they're excited. You know, they are excited about this new life. But men, I've noticed, aren't as excited about this new life. Mm-hmm. And it seems sometimes as though women look at marriage as the beginning of something beautiful and new and this new life together.
Okay.
And men almost look at it as the end of life as they knew it.
Right.
And even when you think about the difference between bachelor parties and bachelorette parties, like bachelor parties, they're trying to get it in.
Right.
Go get those strippers. Right. Go get this. Okay. What do we gotta help our boy go out with a bang.
Right.
Because life as he knew it is over.
It's over.
So I want to talk about that.
So y'all don't have bachelorette parties like that?
We have bachelorette parties, but it's not like that. Like, not like the ones I've heard of that my male friends have had.
Okay, well, I didn't have that. You know, right? I don't even think I had a bachelor party.
Aww, no. He's so sweet, y'all.
It's tough, no. So that's a great, I mean, a really, really great topic. And I think it plays a role in even how we then, once the marriage takes place, or a committed relationship, it affects how we interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, and to put out there as well, it's not every woman that thinks the same way, and it's not every guy that does that.
Certainly so, not.
But we definitely want to see that, because I think it's, you know, for many women, especially traditionally, who have been groomed and taught that your role once you leave this house, or even before you leave this house, is for some man to come looking for you, and to taking you with them to take care of you.
Exactly.
And so you got to make sure that you are ready for him. Even though that has changed a lot within, you know, our recent decade or more, 20 or so years or so, that women are becoming more and more independent, and not looking for a man to take care of them, and especially being raised by a lot of single women who have told their daughters, don't be waiting for no man to come take care of you. But our focus is about those who are waiting for or looking and excited to finding that guy. And then the other part of the question is, for us as men, why do we prolong it as long as we can?
As long as humanly possible.
Okay.
And we're not taught that as women.
No.
I remember when I was in college, I was at a work study job, and this woman named Karen, she used to be an Atlanta Falcons cheerleader way back in the day, one of the first African-American Falcons cheerleaders. Maybe, I don't remember, but she told me one day, she said, "Sweetheart, you are fine, you are beautiful, and you are smart.
Yeah.
Do not get married till you can't do a damn thing else."
Wow.
And I was like, what are you talking about? No, I want to get married soon. Like, as soon as I'm out of college, I want to get married. And I got to go to grad school, but I got to get my husband. And and I got to have babies. And, you know, and I didn't understand what she meant by that.
Yeah.
But she was telling me, enjoy your life.
Right.
Enjoy your life. Know who you are before you make that commitment to marriage. And while you're cute and beautiful, use that cute and beautiful and go enjoy your life. Of course, I didn't listen to her.
Right.
Of course, I didn't. And I made some other decisions, which is another podcast, But I think that not enough women are told that.
Right.
And maybe men are told that.
Yeah.
You know, is that the case?
I think, you know, some of the things I've heard coming up was, you know, getting married is like, you know, that ball of chain that you're walking with. You can't do much. You can't go there. You can't do a lot of stuff. It's almost like you are in another home with a mother.
You hit the nail on mm-hmm. the head, because I think that that's what men are told. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you go from mom telling you what you can't do and mm-hmm. restricting you to your wife telling you what exactly. you can do and what you can't do.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really how y'all feel about us? That makes me sad.
Not all of us, again. But many of us are taught that. And I think another thing that comes into play, why that might be for men, depending on where they are, especially here in Atlanta and in other, like D.C. and other areas where the ratio between male and females are, you know, it's not equal, and predominantly more women than men, and many men want to experience their lives with as many women as they
you
can.
You say it so nicely.
So
they don't want to sow their wild oats. Just go ahead and say it.
They
want to go out there and share
all
they have to share with the world.
Right. They would prefer not to necessarily have kids, not all. So even though some are, yes. But some, I think, is just enjoying themselves. I think there are other issues that come into play with regards to that, besides just the ratio between men and women. There's the connection that we have with sex. And I think that's related to also the first episode we had as it relates to men and emotions. So not necessarily having a place to express and deal with a lot of emotions, we use sexual relationships as a way to help us deal with some things as well.
Why can't you use your sexual relationship with your wife, who you'll have access to sex every single day for the rest of your life?
That is a fantasy. What was it? That's a myth. That does not happen every single day just because you're married. And many men go into that thinking that that's what's going to happen, and no. So that could be another reason why we do that, because it doesn't happen.
I'm writing these down, ladies. So, so we know one reason is for this difference in perspective on marriage is sex.
Right.
Okay.
You're not going to have sex whenever you want.
So you're not going to have sex whenever you want. Another issue is, and I heard you say this earlier, that women are kind of taught, you know, get married, you'll have somebody to take care of you.
Right.
Men aren't taught that?
No.
Okay.
You know, in the old traditional ways, get married, you have get a woman so she can take care of you and take care of your kids. Take care of your household, you know, but it doesn't say that your commitment should be to her and only her. You know, you have somebody, you need a home base, all right? But then, you know, you can still play the field. If you meet somebody,
as
long as you handle your business at home, you're taking care of your affairs. But, you know, men have urges. You know, boys will be boys, something that came out in the Gillette commercial with the toxic masculinity. That those are things that are really being said, that, you know, a man going to be a man. That's what he does. You know, he's going to cheat. You just know that. Just know that going into the relationship, he's going
to
cheat.
But anyway, that sounds ideal to me. If I were a man, and I've been socialized to believe that I can get married and still have my butt on the side. I can have my 2.2 kids and my white picket fence and my wife and all this stuff and still do what I want to do. I wouldn't see marriage as the end, but I think men see marriage as the end.
Yeah, but women are not the same as they were in the past. And it doesn't mean that how they were in the past wasn't necessarily healthy.
Yeah.
But a lot of women who are coming into their own and get in touch with their voices, they're not putting up with a lot of that stuff, you know. And so men.
So you just gave the other reason, nagging.
I interpret it as nagging.
That's what a lot of men say.
I think it has a lot to do with you owning your voice. You mm-hmm. are coming into your own. You realize what you've been taught and being able to serve a man and make him happy. That doesn't make you happy.
No.
And so we have had to learn to adjust to that because mm-hmm. that's what we were expecting as well. Mm-hmm. And so when then you find your voice, it's like, okay, well what do we have now? Like, this is not what I bought into, you know? And so it's important that men recognize that maybe some of the things that we've bought into of what a marriage is supposed to be about was false and inaccurate and unhealthy for a relationship, and especially unhealthy for the woman.
Yeah.
So.
I would imagine that as a man going into marriage with what the societal norms have been around marriage, I would imagine that for a man that is stressful to think, to go from being single and worrying about myself to now being married, and the expectation is that I'm going to take care of this woman. If something happens, if she, you know, she may or may not work, and I am still responsible. But it really, it does go both ways though in a marriage. So if I get married and my husband loses his job, I'm still going to provide and make sure that we're okay. But I think that in societal norms, we don't talk about that. It's just the expectation that the man is the breadwinner and he's the provider. Right. So that has to be a lot of pressure for men going in.
And even if in homes, as you suggested, let's say that the man isn't working for whatever reason, and the woman steps up and taking, when I say step up, I mean doing more than what she's already doing. For many men, that doesn't feel good. You know, to see that the woman that I married or the woman that I'm with is the one that's the breadwinner or the one that's supporting the family, that goes against that same stereotypical image of being the man. I'm not a provider anymore. If I'm not a provider, then what am I? You know, I'm not a man.
Yeah.
You know, and the natural thing for to do that the woman may be looking for him to do or that he should be doing is, okay, if she's stepping up in that area, you need to step up in the other areas, like taking care of the kids, homework, going to school meetings, taking care of the household until you find a job. You know, that there are other things in maintaining the household. It's not about so much in roles. And I think we give so much value to specific roles, that this is your role, this is my role. Rather than seeing what needs to be done to take care of this family, to take care of the business of this family, and to help the family to grow towards the vision that we have. And then being able to be, as we say in the business world, being cross-trained to do somebody else's function. That in a household, we need to be able to do that. We need to be able to learn how to wash clothes, do the laundry, do some of the stuff that your mate does, just in case it comes to that where you have to do it. And
I
so,
think everybody should know how to do those basic things just to live.
I agree.
Period. You know? My son is 17, and he asks me sometimes, he says, Mom, are you grooming me to be somebody's husband or somebody's wife? Because he can change the headlights out on my car. He can do a tune-up on a lawnmower.
Wow.
But he also knows how to wash.
Yeah.
He knows how to cook.
Yeah.
He even knows how to sew,
right,
which he does not want anybody to know. But I was like, you need to sew up these socks that you always stick your toes through.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So I think it's important. But I think that those roles, those very defined gender roles, might be a reason why men feel like life ends too when they get married.
Right. We haven't had, and trying to take a look at it from that male's perspective, from the point of view, is that we haven't had that time to fulfill the image that we see on TV or other guys around us are doing, and just having a good life. And because of the difficulty with the emotional expressing and understanding and articulating, If I have a problem with one woman, I don't need to stay around. There's nothing that's holding me, bounding me to this. I can leave.
Yeah.
So if you're pissing me off too much, I'm out. So a guy wants to be able to feel he has that freedom to be able to do that until he decides to commit. And because he knows he's going to have to put up with not having to leave, that's why, you know, I'm going to put that off as long as I can. And so, because I don't want to have to be stuck. Because when I decide to finally get married, it's going to be like, you know, I can't go nowhere. I can't hang with my brothers the way that I need to or used to. I can't just leave the house when I get pissed, or can't just go to somebody else's house when I'm upset or feel like I want to. I'm bound to this one person. And for a guy who has had experiences with multiple women prior to getting into marriage, that is a very difficult transition, because you start expecting this woman, this one person, to please you as these two or three women that you were seeing prior to that, and that's not fair to the woman. And so it's important that, you know, we understand, you know, the lifestyle of the person that you're dating with. What lifestyle do they currently have? And what transitional period have they taken themselves through into preparing for a monogamous type of relationship.
You alluded to something that I think is one of the biggest issues that men might have, and I'm just speculating here, okay, because I'm not a man,
all right,
and I'm not trying to be, but being able to go out with your friends and have that time with your friends. My question is, what are there appropriate activities for a man that is in a committed relationship or that's married, and inappropriate activities with the boys? Like, I've always, when I date people, I've always said, please have your own life. Please go out with your friends. Please go look at butts sometimes, because you need to do that. I am not intimidated at all. If I see a beautiful woman walk by and I'm like, oh my God, she's gorgeous, uh-huh, and you're not looking at her, I'm thinking something's wrong, okay, with you. Like, so I've always encouraged, okay, you know, guys I've dated, go out, go have fun, go to the bar,
yeah,
go look at butts, go do you, because I think that's important. I don't think that getting married or being in a relationship means you don't have eyes anymore, that you don't have, you don't need outlets anymore, for not all outlets, but you, mm-hmm, you don't have outlets anymore. So I want to ask, what's appropriate, you know, when for men that are married, because I think a lot of men think, I can't go anywhere, I can't do anything, all I can do is sit around and watch Lifetime movies with her and go to Chuck E. Cheese with her and the kids,
and,
and this is awful and I hate everything about life now. What's appropriate?
Oh, good question. I think a lot of guys would perked up their eyes and ears when you said what you said. I think if what's going to be important, that both both the individuals in the relationship agree, mm-hmm, on the same page with,
gotcha,
that. So if they're not on the same page, that can also have a play on what's appropriate and inappropriate. So with regards to, let's say, some guys still go to strip clubs,
mm-hmm,
right? In some relationships, if the woman she's fine with that,
mm-hmm,
and that's what they want to do, then okay, fine. I am of the perspective where I don't see that being healthy. Mm-hmm. For me, I can say, if I were to do that, I'm not just looking at them at strip clubs. I'm not just looking at them just passing by. That's going to be in my head, where that desire gets stimulated so much that my wife's...
The desire for sex, or the desire for sex with women that look like that up on the stage?
It might not even be the desire for sex itself.
Okay.
It might just be the lusting piece, that there is something that we get out of it,
mm-hmm,
even just as a split second.
Yeah.
That happened. Sorry for the snap. If that desire does not get tamed, then every woman that's passing by, I'm trying to see if she has that kind of a butt, or a butt that stirs me up in that way. And I'm not always necessarily going to be disciplined all the time to determine when I shouldn't and shouldn't, should or shouldn't do it. And that can then lead to, in some situation, intersex. But I think for me, that would be too much of a temptation to be able to do. So, and in my wife's case, she's definitely not putting up with that. So in that case, that's not going to happen in my relationship. But in somebody else's relationship, it may be fine if they both agree.
So I have two questions then. One, so men and women, I guess we're kind of naive, or maybe I am, but
what's that?
That's why we have this podcast. I'm learning so much. But so a man goes to the strip club and he gets stimulated by what he sees.
Right.
He doesn't want to go home and have sex with his wife?
He may. Or he may want to have sex with the person on the stage.
And for a hefty fee, he probably can. Back in the back of the club.
Or somebody he knows who looks like the person on the stage. Well, he doesn't have to pay for her.
Okay. So, got you. Okay. And then my other question then is, what if, I mean, we were talking about outlets with the fellas, but I think that what if your wife wants to go to strip club with you because she likes going to strip club with you?
I've had couples where that happens.
Yeah.
The woman goes with her. I asked for the flip. You know, would he go to her to a male strip club?
Oh, God, no.
No, that's not
Never.
Happening. Right.
Never.
Right? So, for whatever reason, she's fine with going with him to a strip club with women, but you know, she, in one of the cases, she wasn't interested in going to a male strip club, or in another case, she went with her girlfriends. He wasn't going with her. So again, the both couples, both individuals in a relationship should be on the same page in agreement with what they deem to be appropriate or inappropriate. I think it's healthy to have relationships outside of your intimate relationships, whether it be with your boys or with your girls, and doing things that you are passionate about, that you're interested in. You don't always have to do it with your significant other.
Yeah.
I would just say be mindful not to do it with someone of the opposite sex without your partner being there, because that could lead into, who knows where that can go to. But it's important that we each have lives apart from, and when I say lives, interests and desires or hobbies or things that we do, that doesn't necessarily have to be with the person that we're with.
I think that's really important. And I had never really understood what it felt like to be stifled in a relationship until I was stifled in a relationship.
Okay.
And I dated a man who wanted to go everywhere I went. If I was going to a baby shower, he wanted to go to the baby shower. Okay. If I was going out for brunch with the girls, well, I'm not doing anything, I can go.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how that then felt, to feel like I couldn't have any outlets and couldn't do anything without him there, or him wanting to come or resenting me if I went.
Yeah.
So I get that, and I don't wish that on anybody, male or female. It's not healthy.
No, I don't think so.
So I think that, for women, I think that, as a woman and as somebody who's been on the receiving end of a relationship that was, felt very stifling, you have to check yourself and ask yourself, am I being logical? And why do I not want my mate to have outlets and friendships and relationships outside of me, especially if they're appropriate? I think that sometimes you get into that gray area with male-female relationships, and it gets a little gray and a little ambiguous, but I think it's important to realize that we all need outlets, and we all had lives before.
That's right.
We got married or met this person, and we need to continue to have balance in our lives.
That's right.
And have those relationships and outlets outside of it. With regard to these appropriate activities and outlets, do you think it's easier to manage that kind of balance if you just have a designated date night as couples? I think that sometimes one of the reasons why there might be resentment or people don't want you going out with your girlfriends or your guy friends is because you guys have not had that special time together. Would that mitigate some of that?
I believe so. Yeah, I think that would be important. That it would show that you're taking your partner, you're making your partner a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And that every weekend you're going out with your boys or your girls. I don't think that's appropriate if you only going out with your partner once a month or once every other month.
Then the argument, but I see you every day.
Right.
I see you every single day.
No, that's seeing me every day is not the same thing as going out with me and us having fun. Most of the time in everyday stuff, we're handling business.
Yeah.
Taking care of the relationship, the house, the kids, that kind of stuff. But we need entertainment. We need to be able to have some fun interacting with one another. That's what we did when we were dating. And so why does that have to stop just because we have more responsibilities and we're married? I think that definitely would help, that he sees her as someone he can have fun with. Outside of the household, outside of the kids, and he still can enjoy his life. He can still learn. They're doing different things together where they are participating in new activities that they're doing. They're making unique memories, and he's growing from that relationship. So I think from a guy's perspective, if he can still have fun and with her and sees her as being exciting, that helps to reduce his desire to want to feel that he is want to go out because he feels like he's missing on something, because now he's just locked into this contract that doesn't allow him to have all these perks that he once had when he was single.
Why do you think couples don't really map these things out on the front end? It seems like things that you could just discuss and talk through. Is it the fact that couples just take these things for granted or just assume things are going to be a certain way. Like, assume your life is over once you get married. So there's not even any need to talk about a boys' night because it's never going to happen. Or there's no need to even talk about a girls' night because it's not going to happen anymore. What do you think it is that prevents people from just having these conversations on the front end?
I think some people don't. It might be they're caught up in the honeymoon romanticism of the relationship, and not thinking so far ahead. Maybe that's their parents' kind of thing, and they're not going to be like their parents and the youthfulness of the relationship, even of their ages, might play a role. There's some who might think I'm still going to do what I'm doing now, and so they might not even think that is going to be a problem because she met me like this, so. Why wouldn't she expect me to keep doing what I'm doing, especially if it hasn't been challenged? Others, probably because they haven't done any premarital counseling, or if they have done premarital counseling, they haven't addressed those issues that should be addressed. And you know what are the expectations? What am I looking for? What things are going to change? How is that going to affect how I live my life now? How important is doing this to me? To my identity and who I am? Am I going to lose any part of who I think I am if I get into this committed relationship? Knowing clearly like what is she expecting, and also being mindful that people change in the relationship. Yeah. So you may meet someone who, you know, this is where they are, this is what their interests are, and then it shifts. It changes because of their own growth or could be lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And so those are some things that I think will be good to talk about. You can't, with regards to the changing, there's only so far or so much you can do because you don't know who's going to change and in what way. Mm-hmm. But maybe you both have a vision of where you would like to be as individuals as well as a unit. I think those things will be good to talk about.
Okay. Interesting.
Also having, I think... other like married couples as mentors around you.
That's a big thing because that's a complaint that I hear of a lot from married women and also from men in committed relationships or married is I don't want my girlfriend or my wife hanging out with all of her single friends.
Right.
Or I don't want my husband or my boyfriend hanging out with all of his single friends because what they're doing he or she doesn't need to be doing.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing too. But then I've been the single friend and I don't want to be penalized because I'm not married. I'm not a bad influence, you know, but I don't want to be penalized and not be able to hang out with one of my friends because I'm, you know, God has not blessed me yet with that wonderful, phenomenal man who I know is coming very soon because of the energy of attraction and that's my vibrational frequency.
Bring
what it
call
needs
it,
to be. It's happening.
Call
it's
it into existence. Claim it with
he's,
you.
He's coming. He's
yes.
coming.
Yes. So I think it depends on the activity that the single friends are involved in as well, and what they're talking about. If I'm a guy married, which I am, and hanging out with single guys, and they're talking about women, and what that's not good. That's not healthy for me.
So do your relationships, do your friendships have to change once you get married? Is that one of the things that
some of it, some
fear?
Of it will, some of it will, some of it has to, depending on the type of friendships you had or what you were involved in, that may not be conducive or supportive of a healthy marriage. You may need to shift that.
So do married people need to just have couple friends?
I don't think they need to only have couples friends. Uh-huh. I think, you know, having single friends, especially if that single person is, you know, they're taking care of themselves, they're about growth and development and challenging them to evolve. I think those are healthy relationships to keep.
What if they're about butts?
Well, yeah, that's an issue. Clearly. For me.
If you're not about that, are you strong enough to have a friend in your circle of friends who's a little bit wild and really into that stuff and not have that influence you? And can you convince your partner of that?
Yeah, I think if the majority, if let's say if it's one of five, let's say, or one of three, and that's what he's into.
Yeah.
But we're not going out for an activity that he's into and that supports his habit or his desire in that area.
Mm-hmm.
If we're doing that, that's if we're hanging out together and that's what he wants or that's what the rest of the guys want to do, I'm not going. I know for me, I don't even want to set myself up for a possibility. So I think it's just easier to just say no for me. We can hang out, we can play dominoes, cards, whatever, and together. We can go to a game, we can do stuff like that. But, you know, this hanging out and peeping at women, and I where I'm at in my life, that's not for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want any temptations to, because I'm still a quote unquote man, in that sense. And I have to be mindful of my own limitations, and I know what I can handle and cannot. And hanging around strip clubs and hanging around areas where it's just a bunch of women or looking at women is not something I want to entertain. Mm-hmm. So I know that I can't. Maybe another guy can, but I don't know what his significant other would think about that. If she's okay with that, then okay. But definitely my wife isn't, and definitely I'm not.
So part one, marriage, is it the beginning? Or is it the end?
So thank you all again. This is the second episode of the Power of Men podcast with your host Warren Mitchell and co-host Misha Hardy. Yay! So thank you all. Please have topics, suggestions that you would like us to prepare for, to present. You know, Misha will come in every now and then to support me here. And bringing her perspective as a sister and talking about what experiences she may have had or other women were going through as it relates to men, especially men of minority groups and that are struggling to find out who they are, why they are, and how to be who they are in the various situations that they find themselves. We are men. We have great qualities in being men. There's a lot of valuable things we bring to the table, and there's a lot that has been untouched that we have yet to discover because we have been groomed under a system that says that we are less of a man if we can't get in touch with our emotions, which I said to that, it's a bunch of bull. So let us grow, let us thrive, let us be who God has called us to be. I am thankful to be here with you all. See you. Peace.